Grumpy Old Geeks, a weekly talk show hosted by Brian Schulmeister and Jason DeFilippo, discussing the finer points of what went wrong on the internet and who's to blame.
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. How about you?
I'm doing good. Sadly, friend of the show MXV had some major surgery this week, so I want to send a hearty get well soon to him.
Yeah, get well, man. Sorry about all that. That sucks, but hopefully you've got some good drugs.
Yeah, yeah. He said that they took him away from him, and now he had a bad night, and they're giving him back. So,
back to drugs.
Yeah, when you have like major surgery, they can't take him away that fast.
No, or ever.
Or ever, yeah. Well, actually, yeah, they can, because they put me on that crap for months, and it was so hard to get off.
Yeah, that stuff is pretty crazy.
Getting old sucks.
It does, but thankfully, we don't have to worry about it for too much longer.
Game over, buddy.
I'm packing my suitcases. I don't know about you.
Well, I would like to... Let's give the audience a little backstory here. For many years, I have been not so much a doomsday prepper, but a prepper. I've always got stuff around to hit the road. And you finally... Slate has finally come around and given you an article that has made you see the light.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say it's just Slate and this one article. It is a combination of things over the years. Let's get into this a little bit. The Slate article is kind of an overview slash editorial of an interview. The Slate article is called Bug Out Scenarios, How Do Climate Scientists Cope with Existential Dread? And if you really want to ruin your week, go ahead and read this article.
See, there was nothing in here that really kind of disturbed me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's true, because you are tin foil hat wearing bug out guy already. So you're already there. The rest of us, though, us normal people, are just starting to get there. It's based on an article from Esquire, where a John Richardson interviewed this guy, Jason Box, who I've heard about over the years quite often. He's a glaciologist and a leading climatologist who is basically on the, I'd say, cutting edge in terms of being, we cannot fix this. We are fucked. And he's been vocal about it, not running around, you know, screaming alarm bells, just kind of, he's walking the walk and talking the talk. He's moved. He left Colorado because he realized that it's not sustainable and there's not going to be water and it's going to be a horrible life there. He used science to figure out the best place in the world that he could live to basically survive and his daughter would have a good shot at a reasonable quality of life based on the environment. And this is pretty damn serious and pretty depressing. And this is a really, really good rundown. Just read the Slate article. I mean, if you really want to go down the rabbit hole, go read the entire interview because it is fascinating and depressing and all of that. And what makes this really hit home for me is, I mean, for the last 8 months, I've been working with an organization called Live Earth. It's going to be a concert in September that is meant to kind of promote and educate people about climate awareness, to sign a petition to demand drastic action from our leaders at the COP21 conference in Paris, where they're going to get together and discuss global environment issues and hopefully come to some sort of resolution to start to scale things back. Kind of the point of this article being it's too fucking late anyways. And I just vividly remember, you know, I got involved with this project almost 8 months ago, and we had our first communications meetings and things like that. And, you know, we just sat around a table and basically the strategy that we came up with was that we absolutely positively have to try to keep this positive, even though it's not, because if we actually start to, you know, educate people about what's really happening and put real numbers out there, it is going to depress people, and we need to keep them energized and positive, even if it's a false positive. So, you know, this is not good, and this is, you know, he's talking about basically how all these climate scientists are starting to use the science to figure out places that they're going to bug out to when things start to go really bad. And I've got one, thankfully. I'm able to go across the border and go live in Canada. So, yeah, good luck.
Okay. Well, I have a bug out spot, but I'm not going to tell anybody where it is. Huh. And it certainly won't be moving to Denmark like this guy did.
Right. Well, you know, his reasons are really interesting, and it's well thought out and reasoned. So, yeah. So, yeah. Well,
I think we have a little bit more time, but
it's been a fun show, Jason.
Yeah.
thanks for listening, everyone. Good night, everybody.
Well, that's why I put this at the top. You had this down in the middle. I'm like, no, let's just get this out of the way, because then everything after this is going to be upbeat and awesome. So
Well, it is our show. I wouldn't say upbeat is going to happen, but awesome, perhaps.
Yeah, it could be. But yeah, I just have, you know, enough to get by for like a couple weeks if everything goes to pot. Right. And then, you know, the best plan is if there is like, you know, some kind of catastrophe in your area is to get out. That's the whole point of bugging out and having a bug out bag and all that good stuff. But
yeah,
this is not a prepper show, so we will stop at that point.
Because that stuff always kind of creeps me out a little bit as I silently pack my suitcase while we record the show.
Yeah, thanks for coming around to my side finally.
Yeah, well, anyways. Okay, so let's go back to light and airy. We talked about how a robot killed a worker at a VW plant last week.
Yes.
In the most amusing thing that I saw.
I like how he's like, let's go light and airy. We talked about a robot killing somebody last week.
Hey. All a matter of degree, man.
Yes.
So, yeah, someone tweeted a robot has killed a worker at a VW plant in Germany, a Financial Times correspondent, who rather interestingly is named Sarah O'Connor.
Yeah.
And Twitter exploded when she did that because she had no idea. And everybody else found this to be the funniest thing that's ever happened in the entire world.
Yes, because she had apparently never seen the Terminator movies. So she was like, what's going on with this?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, it was they're very cute. The links are in the show notes for that, but I recommend going and get it. You'll have a chuckle.
It is a nice chuckle after you're done crying from the previous article.
So a little Apple Music follow-up. It really is not ready for prime time. It barely works.
It is not working for me at all. I still can't sync things across devices, and I can't add any Apple Music, any of the streaming tracks to my library. It does not work. And again, like I said, this is something that's really hard to Google because the names for everything is so damn generic. Library, music, streaming. Good luck with that.
Yeah, you should go to the Apple support forums. That's where I try and do the searches and find something. But yeah, for the most part, it is unbelievably unstable. It crashes on me. Trying to download tracks, I can get one. Like if I try and do an album, I'll get one track out of the album. And by the way, it does have a little tiny icon. We talked about last week, like it doesn't show you like how or where your music is.
Yeah.
But there is a little tiny phone icon in the upper right when you get a track down that does tell you that it's on your phone.
Oh, nice. You know, if it actually worked, I might be able to see that.
Yeah. In the way I was testing, it was like turn my phone onto airplane mode and then go back and see what it would let me play. And that's how I knew they were on my phone.
Smart. That's cool. Yeah, I'm still having a lot of issues with it. And one of the things that I found was supposedly maybe you have to turn on iCloud Music and you have to have that whole thing going. I can't do that because I have too many tracks in my library. I can't store all my stuff up there. So if that's a requirement to use the Apple Music streaming service, I can never use this.
Are you talking about iTunes Match?
Yeah. Sorry, iTunes Match. That was one of the things is like you have to have that on, and then everything will work. And I'm like, I can't.
No, that can't be a requirement because you got to spend $25 a year for that. And that can't be a requirement just to use Apple Music.
Apparently, that's rolled into your $9.99 Apple Music subscription.
Well, then I want a refund because they just charged me another $25 for iTunes Match, those rat bastards.
Yeah, see, there's no transparency about this. And I think we've railed about this on and off over the years. Whatever the fuck happened to manuals?
Seriously?
No, I'm not kidding.
I'm with you.
Everybody rolls out software and even hardware now, and they don't bother telling you how the fucking thing works.
Well, see, that's the magic of Apple. It's just supposed to be intuitive. You're supposed to know, like, in your bones how this shit works.
Well, you know, it doesn't. And once you, and if you get in a situation like you and I are, where things just aren't working, there's no way to fix it, and there's no one to turn to. I mean, I'm seriously considering going down to the Genius Bar and just handing in my phone and say, make my damn streaming service work.
Breaking news, Omar Sharif, Lawrence of Arabia star, dies at age 83.
Oh, well.
Yeah, bummer.
Bummer.
Man, this is just a pick-me-up show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, at least Facebook isn't going to be doing a streaming service anytime soon.
Well, they're not. Well, who knows?
They say one thing, they do another.
Yeah, Facebook always says they're not doing something, but we all know they still are in the meantime. So yeah, they're denying a report that they're doing it, yet they're still going around talking to all the music labels. So what are they talking about?
Who the hell knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
No. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm sure they threw it out and like had to run it through the ringer to see if it would take, you know?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. So also on Salon, just to quickly follow up a little bit more with the Apple Music thing, there's a nice little editorial talking about how if Apple Music wins, what will we lose? Basically, it's just an article saying if we have one player in the streaming service that wins and takes over, they basically have the power to tell us what we're going to hear and what we're not, which is, yeah, we call those monopolies and we don't like them.
Yeah, all of this stuff really makes me just want to have CDs again. Give me tapes, mixtapes, and CDs. It's really starting to get annoying.
Yeah. I mean, there's multiple reasons for that. In fact, I was experiencing that all this week. For whatever reason, Netflix has been really janky. And the wife and I have been rewatching West Wing. And I would have killed to have the DVD box set because it would pause, it would drop down to, you know, crappy quality, then it would hang, then it would buffer for another 15 minutes. And it's been going on all week. It's so, I hate streaming. I hate it. Get off my lawn.
Oh, poor Brian, poor Brian.
I'm cranky this week. Anyways, moving on.
Moving along.
John Oliver. The John Oliver effect has once again been proven. John Oliver got results. The New York City is now changing its bail requirements for low-level offenders. I'm sure we all saw that episode. I think it was 2 weeks ago and last week tonight. So
a couple weeks, whenever.
Yeah. So, yeah, the John Oliver effect continues. I love this guy. I love what he's doing. I love the fact that he's making a funny show and actually, making some real change in the world. Good on you.
Yeah. And the funny thing is I watched the John Oliver show on my HBO streaming app on my iPad.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Fun. So I had in the notes something about articles talking about did Anonymous take down the New York Stock Exchange when we also had the United Airlines thing happening all on the same day. And apparently, unsurprisingly, it was just coincidence and bad tech. It wasn't actually terrorism.
Yeah, well, you know, the title does have a question in it. And as we know, if the title starts with a question, the answer is no.
Yes, but I think we should leave this in the show notes because this also does collect some of the tweets that people were sending that day when it was happening. And it's quite funny.
Yeah. And we talked about Google self-driving cars a couple weeks ago. And looks like California is not the only place that they're going to be on the road now. They're coming to Austin, Texas.
Okay.
Well, one car is. They got a Lexus going there. But it's the beginning. They're coming to take over.
They are.
I wonder if I can, like, program my bug-out location into my self-driving car.
Perhaps, but you will need the GPS to work. And by then, the storms might knock it out, and there'll be too many electrical things going on. So it's not going to work anyways.
Yeah. Get a bicycle. Yeah. That's the best way to go.
Long ride to Austin from here.
Yeah, and there's an interesting Business Insider article I threw in the show notes that is worth a read. It just talks about suicide and depression in startup culture. Like, it's a pretty, you know, not upbeat read like we're talking about this week, but I just liked it. It talks about a lot of things that people don't talk about in startup land.
Well, it's such a high-stress field, and it's not surprising. I think people of a certain bent are driven or are attracted to technology anyways. And in my experience and in yours as well over the years, certainly there's been a lot of depressed people in our field. And you and I have had a bounce with it as well. I mean, it's a rough field and it's not surprising. And yeah, this is kind of a depressing article that makes me depressed to be in tech. And
I think we should just title this The Happy Show.
Yeah. Shiny happy people.
This was making the rounds last week. There's a Russian selfie, like a safety selfie thing that they've got going on. And I looked at it, and honestly, I just feel like the entire internet just got punked. Because it just feels like this came from like the Russian version of The Onion.
Yeah, it kind of does. But a lot of news that comes out of Russia could be from The Onion, let's be honest.
That's true. And honestly, if this is the case over there, if that many people are dying from taking selfies, I think they should just call the herd and let them go.
I agree. It's just I don't think it was Russian military, but somebody ended up. No. We bombed someone. I think it was an ISIS guy who took a selfie, and they could tell his geographic location because of that. And then we droned the hell out of him or something like that. I can't even remember. So don't be stupid with your selfies.
Now, yeah, and always turn off location services, people.
Yeah.
In the news.
One place I'm not going to bug out to would be Greece.
No doubt about that.
It's been a rough week.
You could say that.
Yep. So, you know, there's a lot we could talk about this, but let's stick with the tech aspect. Guess what else people in Greece can't do right now?
Buy porn?
Or buy porn or buy songs from iTunes.
Yep. Oh, man.
And, any online business that runs your banking out of the country, you cannot do in Greece right now, which is basically almost all of them.
Yeah, this is insane that everybody's getting cut off there.
Yeah, you are basically, I mean, Greece is just an island to itself now.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. But on the tech side with it, the Planet Money series, like the past couple episodes, they've been talking about Greece and they've been really good and really informative. Mm-hmm. Have you listened to any of those yet?
No. I've been too busy being depressed about the climate thing. My bandwidth was full on depression, so I couldn't get into Greece that much. But yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that they're doing a good job. And since you put them in the show notes, I will probably listen to them today because why be happy?
No, the funny part is one of the guys that they talked to is planning to bug out of Greece.
Well, no shit. If you've got the money, get the fuck out of there right now.
The interesting thing about when I was reading your Business Insider article was there was a related note at the bottom, like, you know, a related article. Mm-hmm. And it was how to land a plane if the pilot has a heart attack.
Awesome.
And sadly, I watched Mythbusters and they've completely debunked that anybody could land a modern plane if you're not a pilot.
Also discussed in the Patrick Smith book that I got you to read the other week.
Yep, indeed.
Yeah, good luck with that. You can't do it.
You just can't do it. Unless you have, 100 hours logged on a modern flight simulator, game over.
Yeah, game over. And speaking of game over, the NME, one of my favorite music magazines of all time, it's a British publication, basically is going to go completely free. I'm not entirely sure what that means, how they're going to do it, and whatever, but that's what's happening. So the death of another music magazine, they plan to continue and be free. I basically see this as a means of, well, there's not going to be an NME in about a year.
Yeah, if they're going online only, we know that the ad market is screwed. There's no way that they're going to be able to keep the quality up. And plus, without the physical magazine, they're just going to be another online content, we all know what the writing's on the wall.
There's been a first wave of this of print publications going online only, and they just shut their doors within a couple months anyways, and that's probably what's going to happen with this.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is I was looking at that, I'm like, man, how can NME be going out of business but Maximum Rock and Roll is still in business after all these years?
Because they're so niche. It's a niche market, and that they don't need to have a lot of people paying attention. They just need their hardcore fans because it's a punk band. Hardcore, get it?
Yeah.
They just need their hardcore fans to keep them going. So, and I mean, look at it. It's fucking, they haven't redesigned their site since 1992.
And it's still printed on newsprint.
Yeah.
You know, they definitely have they have the old school zine aesthetic.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, people that work for Maximum Rock and Roll are doing it for the love of the rock and roll more than the paycheck, and NME actually has journalists who want to get paid, so good luck with that.
Yeah, speaking of people who are not getting paid, I just want to cover this one real quick because neither of us are Redditors, but Reddit had its giant kerfuffle last week with everybody shutting down because somebody got fired was what the original story was, but it turns out that a lot of the people who weren't getting paid are just tired of no support from Reddit while Reddit makes money off their backs.
Shocking.
Yeah. You get what you pay for.
Hey, you know, I think that's a hard learned lesson that we've learned just from the business sense, which is you never go in for free because you're never going to get your pay upped. That never happens. And you're going to do, you know, you go into Reddit and you start a big community and you're doing it for free and for the love of it, nobody's going to step in and pay you for that.
Well, and sometimes they can't. Like, you know, I have firsthand experience this running MetBlogs. We had hundreds of authors that were unpaid just because we couldn't afford to pay them. And, you know, we had our fair share of revolts. And Kevin Rose can tell you that, too. Look at Dig when they didn't support the people who were doing the content. You know, yeah. Dig is now a footnote in history. This has all happened before, and it will all happen again.
Yeah, it will. I mean, this affects me zero. Because, yeah, like I said, I'm not a Redditor. I do enjoy Reddit. I like to look every now and then. It's great for headlines and kind of seeing what's going on in the world. But I think that, you know, the days of me getting super involved with an online community are long gone. I mean, I was doing that when I was 14 on BBSs and, you know, distributed network stuff. The idea of doing that just... Ugh.
Oh, yeah, we're long past that. We put in our time. And, you know what we have now? Electric bills. So it's time to move on and get the big boy pants on.
Exactly. Now, there's this thing called blockchain that people have been talking about this week. And because, Jason, you are the more techie person of the two of us, explain this to me.
The blockchain for what it's associated with is Bitcoin. Yeah. And it's just a ledger of every single transaction ever made. So mm-hmm. it has to be the entries that go into the ledger have to be done by consensus of a majority.
Okay.
And that's what it is. So people are now trying to take the blockchain, you know, technology and theory behind it and put it to other things. So this has been going around for a little bit since Mark Andreessen opened his big bald mouth about it. And it's not one of those things that I actually find that interesting, but I'm looking at it, and the blockchain for Bitcoin is approaching about 35 gig right now.
Okay.
So to download it, that's a lot of disk space. And if everybody's downloading it and everybody's updating it, that's just a lot of crazy bandwidth in my book. But I could be like wrong on the tech, but I just remember when I started trying to use Bitcoin, it started to download the blockchain. And I'm like, okay, it'll be done in about a week. I'm like, what?
Yeah. So it's not terribly practical given the way our tech is currently set up. But I like the concept. I was reading through it and I was like, oh, this is really interesting. Although the one thing that struck me is as a layperson who never really got too into Bitcoin was I thought the whole point of Bitcoin was anonymous. You could not be tracked with your money. And this seems to be the exact opposite of that.
No, everything is anonymized and encrypted. So, I mean, you can go back and reread the transactions, but it's not like, okay, Brian just sent me 5 Bitcoin. It's, you know, anonymous user accounts that are transacting in between each other. So you can glean some introspection into who's who, like when the thefts go on, the big Bitcoin thefts, people can try and trace who's going and putting them where. That's why those exchanges were always helpful, because people would go launder them through the exchanges. Right. You know, I could be completely talking out of my ass on this tech because I just never got into Bitcoin. It was just one of those things that never really did anything for me.
Well, I mean, we did like that whole episode on it, and it was all the rage for a little while. But the most interesting thing about this whole blockchain thing coming out is this first time I've heard the name Bitcoin in quite a while. It has kind of dropped out of public consciousness.
Yeah, it really has. It's not one of those things that, you know, it's flash in the pan, in the bit pan. So Facebook is opening a new data center. And normally I wouldn't mention this at all because it's like, oh, who cares?
Right.
The interesting thing about it is the way that they're doing these highly efficient data centers. Mm-hmm. And so far it says that the way that they're doing their infrastructure has saved the company more than $2 billion over the last 3 years, which is insane. Mm-hmm. The thing about it, though, it got me into what I found was the Open Compute Project, which I'd never heard of. And it's been around for years, but since I'm not in the high scalability computer world anymore, and frankly, never, ever want to go back.
Yeah.
This is like a consortium of big companies who are working together to make open hardware, data center, you know, efficiencies and share them. And it's really cool. I had no idea this stuff existed. And it's pretty neat that all these people are like getting together and working on this stuff to save energy.
Yeah, it's really, really cool, actually. So I didn't know that was going around either, but it's, you know, it's like we said at the beginning of the show, it's probably too late, but good luck with that. So make this greener, save the energy, be awesome.
Well, when you know, the global population is down to 1 billion people from 7 billion, since everybody is starved to death or killed each other and ate each other,
right.
Facebook will have much better data centers, and you will be able to get on faster, I guess.
Yeah.
And save some money.
Well, and thanks to the rollout on Facebook this week, when we're down to 1 billion people, you'll actually be able to pick which of those billion will show up at the top of your newsfeed finally.
Yeah, this whole like newsfeed prefs thing that they have now, I looked at it before I deleted Facebook off my phone because it's causing battery issues and all sorts of other problems.
Right.
There's still no option for just show me everything in a timeline.
Yeah.
I want a straight timeline without you people fucking with it. And nope, no option.
I agree. That is all I want. I don't want to be able to pick 10 of my friends and make sure that they're always on the top of my newsfeed. I just want a timeline scaled all the time. Every single update from every single person I've friended in a row in the frame of time that they happened in. That's it, Facebook. And thousands upon thousands upon thousands of millions of your users, that's all they want to. So bring it back.
Yes. It's called chronological, people. You know, we've it's pretty much how we live. So don't just stop it. Yeah. But yeah, I did have to knock the Facebook app off my phone because it was such a battery drain, and it actually almost blew up my roommate's phone. It got so hot she couldn't hold it, and I did really? Some research on it, and she didn't even have it in the forefront. It was the background app refresh just kind of went cattywampus.
Really? I've just never had an issue with the Facebook app. It's always, I mean, it's a bit of a battery drain, but I've had far worse apps on my phone and I've never had any kind of issues with it. So sorry.
Yeah. It's hit and miss. If you go and Google it, you'll see a lot of people have that problem. I had it on my 5S a lot, so I ended up taking it off, and you can go to about and see what the battery usage is for different apps. And for me, Facebook was always at the top and I barely used it.
Right. Right.
Okay. That's now I don't have to, but surprisingly or unsurprisingly, since I moved to California, I almost never look at Facebook anymore because I'm too busy doing stuff.
You have been a busy beaver.
I have. You know who's been busy too?
Who's transition on this one?
Who has allegedly been a busy boy is Jared Fogle, the fat man from Subway. His house was raided this week in a child porn investigation. Now, this could just be because he is child porn adjacent. Because the leader of the Jared Fogle Society or whatever was basically arrested for kiddie porn. There's nothing really going on with this at this point, but it is tech related because they did take his computers and it is kiddie porn. But Subway's kicked him out. They're done.
I didn't know that Subway was still. I mean, I know he's not in the ads anymore. I guess he was being still sponsored by him for personal appearances. Like, who the fuck would go see a personal appearance of Jared? But anyways, I had no idea he was still involved. But of course, any smart company is going to go ahead and distance themselves from him, because how could you not, since every single photo and news story mentions Subway related to child porn now, which is not ideal if you're running a company.
You can go get the new Subway 2-inch.
Oh, boy.
God, you wondered how I could make kiddie porn fun, but no.
The show notes, I was like, there's just no way no joke is going to come out of this that's going to work. And I was right. So moving on.
Something that does work is Airbus's new electric E-fan aircraft. It made it across the English Channel today.
It looks cool as crap, too.
Yeah, it's a cute little plane.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
I welcome our new electric plane overlords.
I welcome our new environmentally friendly overlords.
Well, he could be as environmentally friendly as a Prius, which it turns out is not.
Yeah, well, good times.
Security? Ha!
On the number of list of things that I didn't know, this is pretty up there and a little bit surprising, because you'd think I should have known this. Did you know that the United Nations has a digital privacy investigator?
It's a new position, so no, I wouldn't expect you to know that, but I didn't know it either.
Yeah, it was approved last March to create this position, and because it's the United Nations, they still haven't actually put anybody in that position yet. There's been a lot of infighting about it, and it's all very political, and it's all very boring. The takeaway from this article, which I thought was really interesting, is I think we might have found a bug-out place.
Estonia!
Estonia, shockingly, has amazing privacy and digital innovation going on there. Like, they're light years ahead of us.
Oh, beyond light years. Yes, it's insane. But, you know, granted, they have far fewer people than we do, but still.
Yeah, yeah. No, it sounds like a grumpy old geek's digital paradise over there.
Yeah, but it's still Estonia. I don't know much about Estonia, but I think about it, and it's got stone in the name, so I think of Stone Age.
Kind of like that. You can walk around and say you're Estonian. I like it.
Yeah, well, you can become e-residency. They have e-residency, so you can join and become an e-Estonian, I guess.
Makes sense, considering they're on the forefront of the digital for most of the planet, really. So something to look into. I'm going to be Googling a bit of Estonia later.
Awesome. So the big news of the week that I think everybody has seen is that the company, the hacking team from Italy, basically got pwned big time.
Yes, they did. And they also need a marketing manager, because that's the most boring name ever.
Yeah, really.
Team? Come on, guys.
Well, they're Italian. I guess we're not good at that. We're too busy out, you know, drinking wine and eating cheese and making pasta. I'm Italian. I can say that. So anyway, yeah, 400 gig of their internal data was basically stolen and opened up on via BitTorrent. And man, there's some bad stuff in here. But yeah, these guys have been selling to like, was it Egypt and oppressive countries?
Right.
Which is bad. Yeah. But also a lot of the source code is in there. So vendors are now on a just scrambling to fix all the stuff. You know, the big one is there's a big Flash one that's coming out this week, a patch on that. I mean, there's so much that went on with this, but these guys are, they're done. They're out of business. They are never coming back from this. They might be able to change their name and come back, but
not looking good.
No, I mean, and they were selling stuff to the FBI for, you know, a lot of money, and other countries, they sold spyware. I mean, literally, they just sold ODAs and spyware and everything that a country could use to, you know, it was like dictatorship in a box.
Yeah, nice little convenient starter kit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, I mean, that's all really kind of crazy. I figured you'd be following this more than anyone else. I wanted to give a tip of the hat to a friend of the show, Fergal, who forwarded on the Symantec notice about the leaked Flash 0 day, which is pretty interesting. For those of you that still actually put Flash on your systems.
Good luck. Yeah, silly people.
So, yeah.
And speaking of the Flash one, this one made my day. There's a Flash malware out there that actually gives you a security update after it infects your computer because it doesn't want other malware to get in through the hole that it got in through. So nice. It patches itself behind itself so it can stay on the machine, and then you're upgraded and no more malware except the malware that fixed your computer so it can't get malware.
Yeah, this stuff is getting just so damn clever. It really is.
Another one from Symantec. It was originally titled Morpho, profiting from high level corporate attacks. But apparently there are companies out there called Morpho, and they said, let's change the name of the hacking group to Butterfly, which I don't know if I like that name any better.
No.
But this is a really interesting story because this is kind of like the Ocean's 11 of of hackers. These guys will go in, like nail a company, get everything out and move on and leave no trace. They don't know who these guys are, where they're at. And it's a really fun little story. I definitely recommend, even if you don't like the security stuff, if you like kind of crazy espionage type stuff, and we don't know who these guys are, Nobody's been caught, and they're very smart. So if you want to just, like I said, it's a good bathroom read.
Yeah, no, I mean, go read the article and just in your mind's eye, imagine very, very good looking guys in expensive suits having witty banter as they do all this.
Yeah, yeah. Brad Pitt with a BlackBerry hacking the world. So do you remember the Lizard Squad?
Yeah, the group that is definitely nothing like Ocean's 11.
No, yeah, these guys did the DDoS on Xbox and Sony way back in the day. So one of the kids, he's 17 years old. He was sentenced to a 2-year suspended sentence and must undergo monitoring of his online activities. And he was convicted of 50,700 charges.
Wow.
And he got 2-year suspended sentence.
Okay. Well, you know, but I'm glad that he isn't in jail for like 7,000 years because that would be way above what he should have gotten. But okay. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, he basically swatted somebody. You know, I mean, yeah, I think there's a balance to be made, but I think a little bit of a harsher sentence would have been.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree.
But it's Finland.
Yeah.
I don't think. Well, actually, maybe we should bug out to Finland. They seem to be, if we go to Finland, then we can join Butterfly and then, you know, exploit all of the stuff, the ODAs that the hacking team have put out that haven't been patched yet. And then, you know, then we can, when we're done, we'll move to Denmark.
Okay. Or we could just stay away from all this deep level computer stuff because it makes us depressed.
Yeah, it could be. There is an open SSL patch coming out this week. So if you do run a server, definitely patch it because there's been another stream of open SSL vulnerabilities that have come out that I will not bore you with.
Yeah, it's a little boring.
So you know what? Once they stopped giving them cool logos like Heartbleed, then.
Yeah. Well, you know, good branding.
Comment of the week.
Our first comment of the week comes from Brett via grumpyoldgeeks.com. I use iTunes exclusively on my PC. I have a ton of cassettes from high school band that I want to transfer to my PC. What is the best way to go about it? The show is awesome from an older grumpy, not quite geek. You guys were the reason that I went back to school to learn electrical engineering. Thanks for the inspiration, Brett in Fresno.
Well, thanks, Brett, and I'm glad we inspired you. First, I would say don't even bother converting from cassette to digital if it's something available in any other format known to man, because cassette is just about the worst. I mean, you can get an 8-track. That's a little bit worse, but that's about it. But since you're talking personal tapes from high school band, I doubt you're going to be able to find that anywhere. So the question is, how much do you have? How much do you want to spend? There are a lot of services out there where you can basically mail off your tapes and get them converted, and they'll send you back a USB stick with everything on there. Or you can pick up a machine and do the conversion yourself. On the plus side, if you do that, you can always, reach out to other people and see if they want their tapes converted and, make a buck or two that way, because this is economy 2.0. You can do it in your Uber while you're driving around if you want to, because that's how we're supposed to all live now. I found something online. We'll have the Amazon link in the show notes. And if you click through that, you give us a buck or two, which is kind of nice. It's called the Ion Tape to PC USB cassette deck. It's on the higher end of the scale, but if you're an Amazon Prime member, the price is half, is cut in half. So it's got some built-in filtering and sound processing presets that'll help if you don't want to learn audio engineering while you're at it. So you can get basically the best sound that you're going to get. There's a lot of cheap ones out there as well, which will probably do just fine. As per usual, read through the reviews and find a price point and review level you feel comfortable with. It's never going to sound great, but hey, memories, right? So there you go. Thanks for writing, Brett.
Yeah, just a little follow-up on that. Mike Vinicor, who was mentioned at the beginning of the show, he's got a setup at his house that I've used. Basically, just an old cassette deck run through like a $30 audio to PC converter, runs it through his laptop, pulls it right into Audacity, and then you can just get, you can find some filters in Sweden that will help you clean up the sound. And he did that for like $30 because he already had the cassette deck. If you've got the cassette deck, it's a cheaper way than having to go get the big old Ion job. But yeah, I mean, it's just pretty much audio routing into your computer in some form or fashion. But this Ion one looks nice. If I only had more than one tape to convert, I might consider it.
Yeah, I know. I thought about that too. It's actually a nice little piece of electronics, but really I don't have anything on cassette that I haven't gotten anywhere else. I mean, the only thing I have on cassette and I can get all the songs digitally are like the old Kevin and Bean Christmas tapes from K-Rock here in Los Angeles, but it's really not that important to me. But then again, with Apple Music sucking, perhaps I should.
So yeah, the only thing that I have on cassette is an old tape from my answering machine. Yes, it was a cassette in my answering machine back in the day before voicemail, where Bruce Campbell called me when he was a young startup that I'd written him a letter saying, hey, I want to start a fan club. Yes, I did want to start a fan club. Shut up.
What a fucking dork.
And he left me this really long message, and I still have that tape, and I would like to get that, digitized someday just for posterity.
Very cool. And my favorite comment of the week that we've ever gotten came through the Twitter from a friend of the show, Ted, a Canadian Stern fan. Hey, GOG Podcast, I just heard Jason say he is out of credits on Audible because he reads a lot. You cannot read an audiobook, # just saying.
Semantics. The words that are in the book are now in my head. It's just a matter of transportation. And we still say we're taping today, but it goes into a digital recorder. There's no tape involved. So, just saying, I don't give a shit.
The smile on my face was gigantic.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks for writing. As always, you can contact us in a gazillion different ways. If you don't know by now, oh well.
No. If you'd like to contact us, the best way to contact us is to go to patreon.com/GOG, sponsor the show, and just drop us a private note there, and we will be more than happy to chat with you and put you at the top of the queue. Otherwise, you can go to grumpyoldgeeks.com and click the contact button, or go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star and a review and a rating, and in the rating, you can leave us a comment.
Yep, that's true. All of those methods. We should really put that in the show notes so we remember to do that every single time.
I think we should.
Yeah, good idea. I'm full of them. Just saying.
At the library.
I finally finished The Long Utopia.
It's about time.
It was awesome. I really, really enjoyed it. I have to admit, I took longer than normal because I was trying to savor it, assuming that this may be the last one that we will ever get. They left it open a little bit for a super, 20,000 years in the future kind of sequel. So I do hope that they write that. I don't think that Terry Pratchett is 100% necessary to continue the series, and I would like to see it continued. It was a great book. Very good. The entire series as a whole, I'm in love with it.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't be upset if Stephen Baxter took this one up and kept going with it. I would actually prefer that.
Yeah, me too. I would like to read more of these. And like I said, it's very much left open. So keep going, guys. One book that you and I are both really excited to come out is coming out very, very soon. Ernest Cline's follow-up to Ready Player One, which is a book we both loved, called Armada. And it's coming very soon. And it's already been out to reviewers for a little bit. And Laura Hudson over at Slate is not a fan.
Oh, well, is it so?
Yeah.
I'm going to read this book. I don't care what anybody says.
Of course I'm going to read it as well, but it's just interesting her take on it. It's definitely, you and I kind of stayed away from the whole Gamergate thing when it happened because we're not really involved in gamer culture to that level. And apparently there's a lot involved in this book that kind of veers into that area, and she's not really thrilled with his take on it. So.
Okay. Yeah. I don't read book reviews before I read the book. I just don't. I mean, I stayed away from this one because I don't want any spoilers. I just want to read the book.
Right.
And then we'll talk about it on the show and say if it sucks or not, but
yes.
Yeah, we'll go from there.
I'm so excited about it that I just saw it in a news article, so I had to click on it.
All right. There we go. It's coming out pretty soon, isn't it?
Yeah, it should be dropping very, very soon. I'm not sure of the exact date, but we can Google that later. But
okay.
We'll talk about it as soon as it's out. We'll be so excited. So it'll be, did you finish? No.
No. Currently, I am reading Tomorrowland, Our Journey from Science Fiction to Science Fact by Stephen Kotler.
This has nothing to do with that crappy movie that George Clooney just had, does it?
Oh, no, no, no. God, no. No, Stephen Kotler has written a bunch of stuff. The last one that we reviewed on the show was The Rise of Superman, Decoding the Science of Ultimate Human Performance, which is basically a book about flow states.
Right.
And I got to spend an hour on the phone with Stephen Kotler yesterday, so I had to pick up his book to research it. And fascinating guy, great book. Talks about all the stuff that's coming, like, in the very near future that, you know, and half of it's already here, but, you know, just not available for public use. But if you're interested in the future of technology, I'd recommend picking this book up while you still can, because the world is ending soon, apparently. So get this in paperback so you can take it to your bug out location and read about all the technology that will never happen because we're apparently destroying the planet.
Yes, and make sure it's a paper. Well, I would go a hardcover because you could probably use the outside thing for something. And then, you know, obviously you're going to have to use all the paper as toilet paper once society has ended. So.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Basically, you use all the pages for teepee, and then you can make a little teepee for your pet squirrel that's keeping you company while you're fattening up so you can eat it, because that's all that's going to be left of the food.
Right. Good plan.
Software, apps, and gadgets.
I'm an Apple guy. I use Apple all the time. And one of the new features of, well, not new, it's been out in a couple one, is the app autosave feature. And in BB Edit, you can open up a bunch of documents and just not save them. And every time you quit and come back, they'll still be there. Mm-hmm. In theory.
Yes.
I had about, well, let's say 100 documents that were unsaved in my little navigation bar, because I use it for basically note-taking half the time before I can get stuff into Evernote or 1Password and move it all around, which makes me one of the stupidest people in technology that you will ever meet, because the other day, BB Edit crashed, and guess what? All gone.
There are two maxims that you should always live by. Always be charging and always be saving.
Yeah, these are little snippets that I just never really wanted to put in a text document that I'd have to go find later, because I was going to, it's like, you know, it's a way station. It's a little waypoint. And thank God I'm using Time Machine, because all I had to do was I Googled where they keep the temp docs for it, went to that folder, and then opened Time Machine, went back, like, you know, to my last hourly backup, and I could pull everything out. And even though I pulled them out, when BB Edit launched, it still wouldn't open them back up into the side tab. So I had to open every single document, copy everything out, and put it where it was supposed to go in the first place.
Right. Good times.
Yeah. So I just wanted to share my idiocy and let other people know that you should probably save and not reply or not rely on the app autosave feature as any kind of scratch pad.
I never have, I never will, but you and I grew up in the old days where there wasn't autosave, so we always had to save or else we were screwed. I do a lot of stuff in Microsoft Word, unfortunately, because I have to. They added autosave a gazillion years ago, but I'm still, you know, Control-S every 5 minutes, always. Control-S.
Yeah, but I mean, that's for documents that you've already saved. These were all untitled documents. I literally went up to untitled 278.
I understand that, but I would never assume that somebody would be so stupid not to do that.
Okay, so, yeah.
Speaking of stupid, I didn't know Microsoft had a garage program, which is called the garage program. I mean, you know, a fun little area where people can work on fantastical or offbeat projects.
And by program, you mean a not an application, but a group of people doing something together.
Yes, that sort of program. But who then made a program, which they released this week, and a rare version of this this podcast, I actually downloaded two apps, and I'm going to talk about them. The app that came out from Microsoft is called Toss-Up, and it's basically a little app where you can organize your friends and get together and create meeting points and all that sort of thing, because there's no other app that does that.
Okay, and how did that go?
No, there are a gazillion apps that do that, and that's the problem. I downloaded it. It's really nice. It's got a good look to it. It's nicely designed. The workflow is amazing. I don't have a single other friend that has it, so it's pretty useless.
Okay, well, there's that.
So, you know, lesson learned again for everyone out there. If there's already apps that do this and the people are there, well, that's what people are going to use. People are going to use Facebook events because all their friends are on Facebook. They're not going to use Toss-Up. And by the way, the entire concept of this, they touted it with an ad that basically said, do you have a bunch of friends that are really hard to get together because they're dumb?
That's kind of the gist of that ad.
Said, and the ad, let me respond to that. If your friends are that hard to get together and they're that dumb, good luck getting them to download a completely new app and sign up for it and use it so you can get them all together again.
And get smarter friends, Jesus.
Yeah. Anyways, it is a nice app. I mean, if I had a bunch of friends that were using it, I would use it. But I don't, so not gonna.
Okay, next.
Who deleted me? This has been all the buzz. Even Time magazine talked about this. Poor guy. I mean, there was a few interviews with him about how he basically had no idea that this was going to blow up, and he was on vacation and had to go like get all these different servers and scale up incredibly quickly, because basically this app, for whatever reason, just got the press that most, you know, startups have wet dreams about. So, who deleted me? All it does is it uses the Facebook API to download your friend list, store it somewhere. Next time you log in, checks against it, downloads it again, processes them, checks them against each other, tells you who's removed you, tells you who's blocked you, blah, blah, blah. All the press is basically saying, wow, finally, there's an app that does this. There have been a zillion apps that do this all the time. There have been plugins. There have been all kinds of things for at least the last 2 years.
7 years. At least seven.
At least 7 years. Okay. I tried one about 2 years ago, so I know that for sure.
No, I mean, these have been coming out since 2008. After Twitter opened up its API, there were Who Unfollowed Me apps that go back that long. So this is nothing new.
So it's nothing new. It's just one that's getting actual buzz. And basically every time any of these people, and let's just stick with Facebook specifically, anytime Facebook changes their API, the apps that existed that did this kind of stop working, and they never get updated because there's no money in making these apps, as this kid is going to find out.
Yeah, and people, if you're that narcissistic, just stop. I mean, you're probably looking at your list anyway, and you have spreadsheets on who followed you on what day and who unfollowed me on what day. You don't need an app for that.
It does make it easier.
It does, I guess. Yeah. You know what doesn't make things easier? Intel's TrueKey.
Never heard of it.
It's there. You have, because we talked about it in the terms of them doing their facial recognition unlocking.
Ah.
Remember that?
Oh, yes.
So they've released a browser plugin for Chrome and probably other browsers, but I tried the Chrome version because I didn't read the fine print. So I'm just like, oh, let's start. And I signed up and it's like, oh, click this. And I'm like, I clicked it and I'm like, oh, crap, it just installed a browser extension. That then completely took over my browser, logged me out of every single site I was logged into until I could kill it, which, you know, I needed to take it out back, put a stake through its heart, shoot it with silver bullets, cut off its head and bury it 6 feet under while the sun was going down at a certain time. It was so hard to get rid of, and I had to re-log into everything. So if you get an invite to this service, run as far and fast away from it as you can and stick with 1Password.
All right.
It's terrible.
It sounds horrible, but I wouldn't even switch. I've gotten so used to 1Password. I love it. I wouldn't even try anything else. So.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was a 1Password replacement because we talked about just the facial recognition stuff. I didn't realize they came out with another product under that name because I didn't read the fine print because I am too busy doing other stuff. And I'm just like, oh, okay, finally, this is in. So I signed up for the beta when we were doing the story. And then they sidetracked me and railroaded me and put me onto this path. And I'm just bastards.
Idiots. Speaking of idiots, actually, we should have put this in more onto the week, but we didn't. So Logitech is rebranding itself.
I didn't even know Logitech was still around, actually.
Well, I'm using a Logitech mouse and keyboard right now. I actually quite like their products for the most part. I don't know if I'm going to like them moving forward. Yet they're rebranding themselves to Logi, I'm not even sure how they want us to pronounce it.
I'd say Logi.
They dropped the tech because tech means nothing, apparently.
Okay.
And they're releasing an entire line of new products that are basically trying to, I don't know, appeal to millennials or something. It looks like they're going to be in all these ugly colors and just horribly designed stuff. They're trying to be Apple design and they're not there. So this may be the death of Logitech for me.
Yeah, it could be. As long as if the products are the same. I used to love their mice, but then I got an Apple Magic Mouse and I'm never going back.
Right. I really love their stuff. I mean, I've always been a big fan. They do really innovative keyboards and their mice are, yeah, like you said, fantastic. I'm using them now. So
my software picks of the week that didn't try and destroy my browser. ScreenFlow 5 is out. I think I've talked about ScreenFlow before, but the new version 5 has been out for a couple months, but I finally picked it up and have been using it all week. And it's really nice. They've got a ton of good features in there that just make screen capture and making, like, you know, screen movies and doing stuff with them really easy, just super easy.
Right.
It's $100. So it's a little bit pricey, but, you know, if you're using it for work to make actual, you know, screencasts for stuff, it's a very cheap add-on for that. And it'll save you time if you're trying to do, like, keynote presentations with audio instead of going through any of the built-in Apple or PC programs. This is just a really nice program. It's all I got to say about it. Use it.
Cool.
Next up, I needed to play a game the other day because I just had to get out of doing the thing that I was doing. I'm like, man, I wish I just had a good video game to play. And the Mac App Store has almost nothing worthwhile. So I everybody was talking about Steam before. I'm like, okay, I can go to Steam and get some games. And I signed up for Steam and I went in there and there was almost nothing for the Mac that was decent. But I ended up getting a copy of BioShock Infinite. And it's interesting. It plays extraordinarily well. It plays better than I think on an Xbox. And it's fun and the controls are good. I just wish they had more games, but the actual process of using Steam is really easy and straightforward. So if you're just a casual gamer and haven't been into games that much, Steam is just a nice way to go and find something to play if you're in the mood.
That will never happen to me.
Of course not. I wasn't talking to you.
Media Candy.
This week in Media Candy, the first story comes with a hat tip from Calbi Mundi. This rapper recorded an entire album in secret from an Apple Store display computer. Rapper Prince Harvey has a new album called Fat Ass, which stands for Prince Harvey at the Apple Store Soho.
Right.
So, Brian, we were just talking about this before I hit record. It's not good. It's not good at all. But it's actually good for being recorded in an Apple Store, and I have no idea how he pulled that off.
I've seen people just sitting at a computer for hours in the Apple Store, and I've always wondered what the hell they're doing. So maybe this is a whole trend now. I'm not a big rap fan anyways, but playing it, it was, you know, I think he was using GarageBand or something. The beats are rudimentary. The keyboard is horrible that he used. But my shocking thing about this is how clean and clear the vocals were. I don't know about you, but have you ever been in an Apple Store that wasn't deafeningly loud?
Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's like, for pulling this off at an Apple Store, but I'm just like, is he just sitting there rapping in the middle of the store with his microphone? Or how did he get those vocals?
I don't know how he got them so clean, because I can't imagine doing something like that in an Apple Store and just not having tons of sound behind you, just people talking and blah, 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 blah. So that part is impressive. I would like to hang around the Soho store and see how he pulls this off. He may, like, wait until they're about to close and nobody's in there. And then he just looks like a crazy man.
Yeah, sitting there rapping to himself. But yeah, I mean, shit, I'm surrounded by $3,000 worth of gear and I can't get it to sound that good.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, you're not a rapper. He's trained at this stuff.
Oh, I am not dropping the dope beats. Is that why?
Don't know how to drop the dope beats.
Okay.
Speaking of dropping dope beats, Fox has dropped the trailer for, they're going to run 201 days of the X-Files. They're basically going to run all the X-Files episodes in order leading up to the new ones. And they've put out a trailer for it with a little snippet of new footage. A
little tiny snippet.
It was very tiny, but it was enough to excite me. I was very happy with that. So take a look at it. It's pretty cool. If you're an X-Files fan, this is going to psych you up. And it's been so long since I've seen the show. I may be tuning in to watch at least the first five seasons before it got shit. I'll rewatch all of them when Fox airs them.
Yeah, but aren't these on Netflix already? Can't you just go watch them already without the commercials if you can get the bandwidth?
See previous note about how Netflix has been recently.
True that.
So, and in other news, Han Solo is getting his own movies. We've known that the Star Wars universe was going to expand considerably, that Disney was going to put out all these various different things going on in the universe and all these different movies. So the Han Solo one has been officially announced, with going to be directed by Christopher Miller and Phil Lord. The Lego Movie, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, 21 Jump Street, and 22 Jump Street. That does not exactly fill me with hope.
Well, the Lego Movie was incredible.
That one was really good, but it was also animated, not real people.
Well, have you seen any Star Wars movies recently? They're basically just computer animated, so.
But that's why they were shitty, so that's what J.J. Abrams is supposed to be taking us away from, which is why they're hopefully going to be good again.
Yeah, but the writing team behind it is going to be, they're solid, so. Yeah. Granted, I don't think that they should make it. I think they should just stick to new stories, leave Han Solo alone, and move on, but it's going to happen, so it's going to happen. It comes from the writer who wrote Raiders of the Lost Ark, The Empire Strikes Back.
Is what gives me hope. The fact that Kasdan and his son are going to write it, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, this one is a 50-50. You could just toss a coin and...
It's all going to be about the casting. It's going to be who plays young Han Solo. That is going to make or break the movie. It's got to, whoever it is, has got massive shoes to fill.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to have some sort of Harrison Ford-esque quality to him.
Yeah. And this, now, since Comic-Con's going on, we're getting all this crazy news out. And the only one that so far that's really kind of excited me is Wesley Snipes might be going back to play Blade. I Blade 1, Blade 2, loved it. Blade 3, bury it and, stick a stake in it. It was terrible. But, one and a half out of three ain't bad.
One out of three, and you're excited for a fourth?
No, I'm excited to see Wesley Snipes again. I mean, I loved him in The Expendables 3. I like Wesley Snipes. I'm glad he's out of jail, and I want him to come back, not be crazy. He's got a new TV show coming out, which will be good, called The Player. That looks like it's going to be cool. I'm just excited to see Wesley Snipes back. I really like the guy. What can I say?
I think he's annoyed by the fact that it's Comic-Con. The con part scares him every time.
Moron of the week!
It pains me, Jason. It pains me to put these guys in here. But our moron of the week, still untitled, The Adam Savage Project. Specifically, the Adam's Land Cruiser episode. Go ahead, bring it up. Links in the show notes. Go to, say, minute 420. And then listen for a lovely 3 to 4 minutes, and you'll understand why I've put them in here.
Yeah, I was driving and listening to this, and I'm like, is this a bit? Or
it was going to be a bit, but it's not.
No, it's the fact that they didn't edit their own show. It was...
Yeah. At about 420, they stop, and they say, oh, shit, we'll have to edit this later. And then they fumble around and make a bunch of noise for about 3 to 4 minutes while they're looking for batteries to put in the Zoom to continue recording. And then they continue recording and they pick it up from there and forgot to go back and edit it. How do you forget to go back and edit your podcast?
I don't know.
Especially considering the amount of money that they're making for doing said podcast.
Yeah, I've seen their rate sheet. It's not cheap.
Yeah.
So,
quality control, guys. Little quality control.
Yeah, seriously. And I mean, you guys like build shit for a living. You can't find batteries? Or how about this? Plug it in before you start doing a show that makes you thousands of dollars a week.
Yeah. Oh, well. Lucky them.
The web's not dead! Oh, no, it's not.
This has been making the rounds, but it's so genius, I couldn't skip it. I had to go in here. Besides, this is if friend of the show, Buddhify, hired us to make a meditation for their product. Fuck that, a guided meditation.
This was genius. I passed it around last night because I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, not going to talk about it. Just go. It is awesome.
Yeah, there's really nothing we can say about it. Just, yeah, when you're listening to it, think of us.
Yes, and breathe deep.
Now, I found this this next one on Visual News. It's called 10 Words We Invented That Should Be in the Dictionary. Some of these are really terrible, but some of them are pretty good, I think.
I actually enjoyed the entire list. I didn't think any of them were too bad. I particularly enjoyed wrongcipient, a person who receives a message you did not want them to see. That is fantastic.
Yes, painstorm is my favorite, a chaotic brainstorm that produces no actionable ideas.
Yeah, and production, an all-male department crew or team.
Yeah, there's some more in here, so go back and check them all out. But they were very fun. They came across my desk this morning.
It's very fun stuff.
Now, another one that's very fun that, they keep upping the number on this. This is a change.org petition, comes out of Ryan Koch from Des Moines, Iowa. It's a change the name of Cracker Barrel to Caucasian Barrel.
It's very, very damn funny. I like that.
He's almost there. Well, he was there before, but it was to reach 7,500. Now it's up to 10,000. But here's the deal, people. We got to make this one happen. We got to make it happen.
I agree. And, you know, I don't know how we'll figure in the cost for creating new signage. And, you know, somebody's going to have to make a new logo. But I like this. I like this a lot. I support this 100%.
Closing shout outs.
Shout out to the Women's USA soccer team who won the Women's World Cup. And in a fantastic game, and Carly Lloyd had probably the game of a lifetime, probably one of the, no, I'll go ahead and say the single best performance in a World Cup, be it male or female, for any one individual. Scored a hat trick of goals, and the third goal that she scored was stunning, a shot from midfield that just perfectly timed and perfectly hit, and it was absolutely amazing. And if you are a fan of soccer at all and live here in the U.S., you are aware of Telemundo's broadcaster and his perchance for yelling goal for very long periods of time. And there's a link in the show notes, 38 seconds of goal after the hat trick goal. Stunning stuff. And good job, guys.
That guy's got some lung capacity.
Oh, he's almost during the last World Cup, I would switch over. I kept them both channels up. And every time there was a goal, I'd switch over just to listen to him because he's so much fun. Good stuff. And if you are in the LA area, I'd like to point out that it is Dine LA's restaurant week, and there are fantastic deals going on for all kinds of amazing restaurants here. So go check that out and hit up at least a couple of these because there are great deals to be had to try out a new restaurant in the LA area.
Is there anything in the Valley?
There are, yeah, all over LA. So in fact, you can conveniently, through the link in our show notes, search by area to find places near you.
Oh, great. So I can go to Fleming's Prime Steakhouse, Morton Steakhouse, or Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Those are the only three deals in the Valley.
Really? That's it?
Well, yeah, that's it. Which sucks because I live with a vegetarian.
It's Sherman Oaks is the Valley, French, sushi.
Oh, I was looking at Woodland Hills.
Yeah, well, you know, come on. You're not walking to the restaurant. This is LA.
Oh, man, I don't want to have to drive. Anyway, my shout out of the week goes to The Morning Dump with Jordan Cooper. I have talked about the show on the show a couple times, but I have noticed that I do listen to it first thing in the morning, and it just actually starts my day off right. I have a cup of tea, listen to The Morning Dump, and it honestly just gives me a bump in the booty. I like it. I don't know if I can use that.
I think you're too bad. Too bad. You're stuck with it. We're keeping rolling. There's no dropping a marker here. No going back at editing. You have to live with that.
Oh, my God. What's going on today?
I don't really know. We started so well.
We started. No, we did not. We started terribly. We're talking about the end of the world and leaving the country because there's going to be no food or water. And now we end up with getting my booty pumped.
Oh, that's a show, Jason.
That is a show. Thanks for listening. I'm Jason DeFilippo, and you can find out more about me at jpd.me.
And I'm Brian Schulmeister, and you can booty bump me at Slender Fungus on Twitter.
Until next time.
Grumpy Old Geeks is a fan-supported show. Check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/GOG. We really appreciate your support. If you don't want to or can't donate but still want to support the show, please go to grumpyoldgeeks.com/iTunes and leave us a few words and a 5-star rating, or tell a friend about the show. Music for the show is provided by Andy Stochansky. Follow Andy at twitter.com/houseofandy, and he's also on SoundCloud, which you can get to by going to grumpyoldgeeks.com/andy. Show notes for all the links discussed in this episode can be found at grumpyoldgeeks.com/118.
I don't know what a booty bump is.